chapter number 10, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. This is a special service this morning. It always is. It's the service before our revival begins. We have communion service today. That's the reason you see this table fixed here this morning. And it's a very, very special service for the church and for those that are saved. This is a special service. And in Hebrews chapter number 10, we want to talk about this service for just a few minutes and the significance of it. And when we think about communion service, there's two services that is ordained in Scripture, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. And they're given to us as the church from the Lord to as a type of the real thing. So here we're looking at this communion service today as a type of what the Lord has done for us. And so we find here on the table the bread and the fruit of the vine here this morning. And these two elements given to us in the communion service are very special because it goes beyond this table and it goes reaches up within the veil. And we're grateful this morning for the privilege that we have to be able to have this service and to be able to participate in this service. So it does have some significance to the Christian faith. I believe a church, the Bible says, that as often as we do this in remembrance of the Lord. And I believe the church ought to always bear in our mind and in our heart the Lord Jesus, always. And I know that's not so in a lot of places, in a lot of times at church in this day and time, because mainly what's addressed in the church is not to lift up the Lord Jesus, but to lift you and me up. It's what's oftentimes those services are like that. But we come together to worship God for what God has done for us. Stand with me this morning, if you would, in chapter number 10 in the book of Hebrews. And I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Verse number 1. And I'm going to read a few verses, several verses in your hearing while you're standing here with us. Chapter number 10, the book of Hebrews. It's again a blessing to have our visitors with us today. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Our Father, we bow in your presence again this morning, thanking you, Father, for every blessing. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for your plan, Lord, that you made for us, that through Jesus Christ we could have access to the holiest place. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here this morning. Lord, I pray for home folks and visitors alike, and ask you, dear Father, to bless them. Anoint us afresh, Lord, with fresh oil. Let us preach in power and give us liberty one more time to proclaim your word. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you'd take us, Lord, and strengthen the inner man. And Lord, give us what we stand in need of. Lord, draw this morning those that are away from you. Draw them unto yourself. We ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning on the thought, let us draw near. When we think about the service this morning, this service is to remind us that we have that promise of nearness with God. God's always wanted to have fellowship with man. From the very beginning when he made man, he said it was good, and he said it was very good. And he said, let us make man after our image and in our likeness, let us make man. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. Amen. And what he done, he did it for the whole world. In the Old Testament days, the law that he gave, the law oftentimes we read about it, and it's called a moral law because it helped us to know how to live. And he called it oftentimes a ceremonial law where we'd know how to deal with sin. And then it's also a law of judgment, to remind us that when we did God wrong, that we were to face judgment. So we know that God's law was good and is important. And it never was intended to drive men away from God, but it was always to bring men to God. Amen. That when men would see the law, it would be like them looking into a mirror and seeing themselves for who they really are, and then turn them and head them toward God. The Bible said the law is like a schoolmaster to grace. It brought us to grace. It brought us to a relationship with God, and a relationship of righteousness and holiness where we can commune with God and be brought near to God. What a blessing that is when you think about it. Our very Creator wants to have relationship with us today, amen, and with you today. If you're here this morning and you're lost and undone without God, there's good news. You can be brought near to God. He said, let us draw near to God. He mentions in this text of the comers. The Bible said the comers would come and they would bring their offering to the high priest. And that offering would be an offering, a blood sacrifice, an offering of a bull or a goat. And they'd bring that offering unto the Lord in hopes that one day it could cleanse them from their sin. But the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull was not ever able to clear the conscience of sin, and therefore would bring a remembrance of that sin every year, all the time. Imagine having to live under those circumstances and in those ceremonies today. It would almost feel like it'd be hopeless and worthless. But it was the means by what God had demanded for men to come to Himself and to draw near to Himself. But there was always that part with between them and God where they could never really reach that place of the perfect sacrifice. They kept bringing those bulls. They kept bringing those goats, and in hopes that one day that God would say, "It's sufficient." But it never did happen to them. Every time they come, there's in hopes of a conscience being cleared. But one day, thank God, the sacrifice came. The Bible tells us that, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book that was written of me." He said, "A body thou hast prepared me." God had prepared Himself a sacrifice. God in flesh, amen, had come into this world, robed Himself in flesh, made Himself a body, a promise that He had promised Abraham when Abraham carried Isaac to the Mount Moriah and put Isaac on that wood and that altar, and He was going to kill His only son. I believe with all of my heart that Abraham believed that if God was going to cause his son to be put to death, that God would raise him from the dead. Because He said, "You stay here, and me and the son will go yonder, and we will return." And so he had in hopes of a better day that God would raise his son from the dead. And but just about the time that Abraham had raised his sword back to crucify Isaac, the angel of the Lord stopped him. And he said, "Look," and he saw a ram and horns hung in the bush. And the Lord said, "God will supply or provide Himself." He didn't say for Himself. He said Himself, a sacrifice. Amen. And the day finally come, amen, when John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan. He saw the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. God, the body that God had prepared Himself, amen, to be the supreme sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. And they would constantly have to come. There was never a closure to the comer. But in this sacrifice, it was completed. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross and was sacrificed for our sins, and that body was given for you and me, and it completed, and it said that it perfected forever them that would come to Him, amen, for their salvation. Let us draw near to Him. When we think about the communion service, He gives us three things here in the text that describes the coming near. Now, I want to say this. We cannot come to God within ourselves. Amen. We have to come to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus, the mediator between God and man. The high priest has, in the Old Testament times, was a mediator. But that mediator was not perfect. That mediator died, and they'd have to get another high priest, and he would die, and they'd get another one, and he would die. And so even the high priest in the law ceremonies was fallible in that they would die. But Jesus Christ, when He was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, and they carried Him into the tomb, and 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible said here that He went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God when He presented His own blood to the Father. And the Father said, "It is finished." Thank God they never had to have another sacrificial ceremony again, and they never will. Three ways we draw near to God. He said, "Let us draw near with with a true heart. Yeah. Amen. With a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now there's three, as there's the elements in the ceremony here today in the service this morning, how we find the bread and the fruit of the vine. And then we also find elements here as being drawn near to God. First of all, you'll find the element of faith. You've got to believe. Amen. And the Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. And I want to say a man cannot please God without faith. And when we come to the house of God, we worship a God through faith. When we are saved, we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Salvation is brought to us by faith. And even righteousness imputed unto Abraham was imparted to us by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham was looking for the day, amen, when he believed, because of his faith, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And today, our righteousness comes through our faith in the Lord Jesus, that he imparted that unto us, that we can come near to God. Amen. I never have seen God with my natural eyes. Amen. But I see him through an eye of faith. And I believe in him and still believe in God. When I got saved, when I came to God, I had to believe by faith that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're looking for a physical assurance, you won't find it today. Some people think that they can be saved when they see smoke, or when they hear a loud noise, or they think they can be saved by some kind of a physical attainment, but you can't do it. Amen. Salvation comes by faith alone. And he said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We can have that nearness of God. But then he says, the number two in verse number 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We not only draw near by faith, but we draw near in hope. Amen. We draw near in hope. The Bible said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Amen. Every step we take, we take a step of hope. Amen. That one day after a while, as Job said, I'll see him face to face for myself and not another. Amen. He had that blessed hope. The Apostle Peter calls it living hope. Amen. Hope. The Bible said if hope was seen, it would no longer be hope. Amen. One day after a while, we're going to be drawn near in the presence of God, and we're going to see him. Amen. We draw near to God with our hope, our profession. Somebody said, I hope I get there. I don't have to worry about it. It's not that kind of hope. Amen. But one day after a while, we will see him. Amen. We can draw near unto God. That's what this is all about. That's what it was all about in those moral and ceremonies and judgment laws. That's what it was all about, was to bring people to Christ. That's what this is all about, is to bring us to Christ. That's what this service is all about, to remind us that we can draw near to God. Amen. Let us draw near to God. I tell you, sometimes in my life, and it might be in your life, but sometimes I don't feel near as I ought to. But when my faith in him with a true heart and full assurance is exercised, then I can begin to walk closer and closer with him. And my hope, amen, is nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. In hopes, amen, of faith and hope. But then he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works.
You cannot draw near to God without experiencing the love of God. Amen. Amen. Now, the love of God has surpassed all our understanding. I don't understand how in the world he loves us so. But you know, he loves me, and because of his love, I can be drawn near to God. Amen. And you know what? And I've said this before. What keeps me going home is because I love that little woman. And I know she loves me. Amen. And that causes me to go back home, is because of love. It's not because that my bed's there. I can find any place to sleep. And it's not because it's a roof over my head. I can find a roof over my head anywhere. And it's not because there's food on the table over at that house. And I can find food anywhere. But it's because of the love that draws me. Hallelujah. You know what causes me to come to the house of God? I hate to pop your bubble, but it's not you. Amen. But it's the love of God that constrains us. Amen. That keeps us coming back to the house of God. Amen. Every place I've ever been, it's not ever been about you or them, but it's always been about the love of God that constrains us to come. Amen. The love. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider one another to provoke. Just kind of poke. Yeah. Yeah. Now, nothing irritate anybody at any worse than to be nearly dropped off asleep and then somebody poke them and wake them up. And nothing will just bug us to death, would it? Leave me alone. I'm trying to get some sleep. But there's nothing that will stir the heart of God's people anymore than love. He said, let us provoke one another in love. Loving one another. What was it Brother Raymond Cook used to say? He used to tell me all the time. He said, Reverend, he called me, he said, Reverend, he said, I love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I've thought to myself, now, Brother Cook, that's lots of love. I can be pretty contrary sometimes, but I may get to the point to where I may not like him as much as I ought to, but I believe he always loved me. Amen. I tell you, he said to provoke one another unto love and to good works, to push us along, to love one another. Amen. And that's how he's not talking about a parental love, or he's not talking about a marital love, but he's talking about God love. Amen. The kind of love that loves unconditional. I tell you, if we could just learn to forgive and to go on, amen, and to love like God loves, we're all imperfect. Every one of us are imperfect in who we are. But in him, the love of God has shed abroad in our heart among all the church. And all the churches, we draw near to God by faith, by hope, and by love. Paul said in Corinthians, the greatest of these is love. Amen. Is love. We're brought together in love. This service this morning, when we think about the love that God manifested in Christ toward us, that we could enter in the veil. Did you catch that in the text? That veil
that we're to get into, enter through, was his flesh. You remember they cut him open, and he opened up on the cross for us to get in. Amen. You remember that the Bible said in Adam, we've all sinned. Every one of us was in Adam, and we had no way out and nowhere to go. But when Christ came, he opened up the veil where we could get in. We get out of Adam and get in him. Amen. When we get in him, we find God, and we've drawn near unto God. This morning, you can come to God, and you can be near to God if you come by faith. And when we have hope and love, we feel that love of God, we can come to him. I'd like for us to get a song, if you would, this morning. Let us draw near to God. That includes all of us. That includes you, me. And when we see the love of God manifest, now we know that this unleavened bread and this fruit of the vine is not literally his body or his blood. It's symbolic. And it's symbolic of his body. And that's the reason why it's unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But it reminds us, first of all, of his coming. There's the body, and the life is in the blood. So he prepared a body. And then it reminds us of his death. The body they carried to the cross, and the blood that was shed at Calvary. But it reminds us of his coming. He said, I'll come again, and I'll drink this with you anew when you enter into my kingdom. Amen. This is not going to go away.
No.
It's just going to get better.
Amen.
And we can draw near to God this morning. Let's stand while we sing this.